Hey everyone, welcome back to another week of our Course in Miracles study group where we are joining together to strengthen the truth for one another and for everyone. Let's begin our practice as we usually do with a meditation. So if you're able, allowing your eyes to close and turning your attention within. Bringing your attention deep within, imagining your mind as a circle, and both seeming outside of the mind in the world and even initially inside the mind, it seems like there's fear, chatter, distraction, all kinds of thoughts that don't serve. And the purpose of all of it is to distract us from the blazing, shining light, the truth and the love that exists deep, deep within us. So imagining that we drop deep down, if the mind is like a circle, we're dropping into the center of the circle through the distraction thoughts, through the fears. And these things are just like clouds. They're just like fog. They have no power to hold us back. And you can imagine all 20-something of us here on this call right now, almost as if we're joining hands, going to the same place, walking through the fog into the light and the love that exists within each and every one of us. It's here that we close the gap, the seeming gap that isn't there between us, and recognize our oneness and our complete innocence and guiltlessness. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. Taking a nice, mindful, and deep breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. This is what it's all about, closing the perceived gap that isn't there and recognizing that none of this that we perceive out here in the world is the truth. Only the truth is true. We're going to pick up with our reading where we left off last week. We actually only read 2 paragraphs. So if you have the CE, the Complete and Annotated Edition, which has the purple cover, please go to page 886. We will start with paragraph number 3. If you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, the blue book, the most widely distributed edition of the course, it's chapter 30, part 5. It's called The Only Purpose, and then it's paragraph number 3. It begins with a sentence, "Not yet is heaven quite remembered." If you have a Sparkle edition, that corresponds to page 693. It's the second to last paragraph on the page. And if you have the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, which has the black cover with the white pearls, that is chapter 30, part 6, paragraph number 59. So what we have been reading, this section is called either The Only Purpose or The Cost of Idols. It's The Cost of Idols in the CE edition. And what we started reading in this section last week was about the real world. It says, the real world is the state of mind in which the only purpose of the world is seen to be forgiveness. We can certainly think about our world and how that certainly isn't the case here. The only purpose in the world amongst many is not forgiveness. It's many other things. People make many, many different purposes out of the world, and so do we. So when we desire to only have the purpose of the world be forgiveness, that's when we start to open to the real world. In one of the lessons, it says that the Holy Spirit cannot fail to give vision to the forgiving. So as we forgive, as we are willing to release all of our perceptions, all of our beliefs, everything over to Holy Spirit to recognize that this is a dream, that this is not the truth, we start to open our spiritual eye. We start to learn how to see with vision rather than the body's eyes, which will always, always tell us what is false. That's the job of the body's eyes. So we're learning to use a different type of vision. So in the real world, again, I'm just kind of recapping what we read last week. The value of forgiveness is perceived. That is exchanged. So instead of idols, which is what we seek for here, idols being anything that we think can save us, those things outside of us that we think can make us happy, in the real world, forgiveness replaces those things. And idols are not wanted. The truth is wanted. And the folly of pursuing guilt as a goal is fully recognized. You know, I want to just highlight here that with everything happening right now in the world with coronavirus, I've now heard a number of different comments from people on blaming China. And that's so important if we have any thoughts like that, that we catch those thoughts, because what is that doing? If we're going to lay guilt on another rather than stand for their innocence, all we're doing is not only holding them to their bodies, we are holding ourselves to our bodies. We are holding our perception to the ego's perception and not releasing anyone from guilt. So we have to catch thoughts like that and be willing to hand them over. So with paragraph number 3, let's pick up there. Again, we're still talking about the real world. I guess I also just feel moved to say that the real world is a state of mind, and it is a place that we can begin to perceive here. It's not yet heaven, but it's like the next phase that when all we want is forgiveness, and you know that's when we start to open to the real world. So I've said many times before how, like, you know, we don't just necessarily go straight to heaven; we grow. We're shedding layers of fear. And you'll see in this next paragraph that even in the real world, not yet is heaven quite remembered, for the purpose of forgiveness still remains. So we're still growing to heaven. So it's our job here on this plane to be willing to practice forgiveness. All right, let's start with this paragraph. Not yet is heaven quite remembered, for the purpose of forgiveness still remains. Yet everyone is certain he will go beyond forgiveness, and he but remains until it is made perfect in himself. He has no wish for anything but this, and fear has dropped away because he is united in his purpose with himself. There is a hope of happiness in him so sure and constant he can barely stay and wait a little longer with his feet still touching earth. Yet is he glad to wait till every hand is joined and every heart made ready to arise and go with him. For thus is he made ready for the step in which is all forgiveness left behind. So in other words, in the real world, as we begin to open up and perceive the real world, fear drops away because we become united in purpose with Himself. In other words, I feel like that means that we start to recognize that our will is God's will. Our will is to know the truth, and that is God's will for us too. I love how it says that hope of happiness in Him, so sure and constant, He can barely stay with His feet still touching earth, yet He's glad until every hand is joined and every heart made ready to arise, to go with Him. Thus is He made ready. So in other words, as we are willing to perceive the truth in our brothers, that's that interpersonal piece about the Course. It awakens the truth in them, and it awakens it in us, and thus we go to heaven together. I feel moved to keep reading the next paragraph, and then I'll pause for comments. The final step is God's, because it is but God who could create a perfect son and share His fatherhood with Him. No one outside of heaven knows how this can be, for understanding this is heaven itself. Even the real world has a purpose still beneath creation and eternity, but fear is gone because its purpose is forgiveness, not idolatry. And so is heaven's son prepared to be himself and to remember that the Son of God knows everything his Father understands and understands it perfectly with him. The real world still falls short of this, for this is God's own purpose, only his, and yet completely shared and perfectly fulfilled. This paragraph reminds me of hearing near-death experience stories of how people say that they understood so much, and they just understood, they had just such a vast understanding, and then when they came back into their bodies, it was gone. It was as if the brain was such like, you know, a thick filter that same level of awareness was just not possible here because of the limits of perception in a body. This idea that the final step is God's is really, we're really talking here on a formless level. As we practice forgiveness, as we open up to remembering the truth, as we begin to perceive the real world and then continue to grow from there, when we are fully ready, when there's nothing left to forgive and you know, all fear has gone away, the final step is God's. It says elsewhere in the Course that God takes the final step by lifting us up unto Him. And that's the piece about being in heaven itself, which I just think is beautiful. So this is a process. This is an absolute process, and that's why it's so important that in our journey that we not beat ourselves up because we're not somewhere else. You know, we think that we should be something different or somewhere different or different, you know, have a different, be more advanced in our spiritual practice than we are. No, those are ego thoughts. We are exactly where we need to be for our growth and our learning, and we can trust that this is all a process, a process of awakening. So let's pause here, and I'm wondering if anybody has any questions or comments so far.
Yeah, Corinne?
Yes.
This is Carl.
Hi, Carl.
Hi. I would like to add, I'd like to go back to what you said last week about my function is forgiveness. You recall with you had the family member challenge?
Yeah.
Right. And I've been thinking about this all week. It's a little lengthy. I wrote it out, but I hope you can bear with me. Perhaps it'll, you know, I'm seeking some clarity here, some guidance. And I'm beginning with saying that today's lesson for me is let me recognize my problems have been solved.
Okay. And let me just pause for one quick moment. I don't know what you mean by lengthy. So I'm just going to ask, I don't know what lengthy means. So if it's lengthy, if you could give us the abridged version, that would be great. But if it's not too lengthy, then just for the purposes of, yeah, give it your best.
Okay. All right, yeah. Okay, so you said when you had this challenge with your family, you said, a member, you said, my function is forgiveness. However, you did not say, my only function is forgiveness, which there is a lesson in the Course that says, my only function is the one God gave me. Meaning, I suspect it's saying that we have only one function, that being forgiveness. And Alan Watson in the Workbook Companion, which he co-wrote with Robert Perry, wrote, we're not here to do great things, become wealthy, a great actor, writer, musician. We're only here to forgive. And, you know, I don't know if Robert Perry completely agrees with that, but, you know, but he did co-write the book, and Robert Perry has written a lot of other books. And, you know, I recently submitted a proposal to Mark Allen of New World Library for a Course-related book, and I know he published your book. And, you know, in turning me down, he said, I think it's a great idea, and if you were giving talks about the Course, if you had a platform, if you get it together and get it on Amazon and sell 1,000 or 2,000 copies, we'd be willing to take a look, another look at it. So, you know, you've created some pretty substantial platform, and, you know, I'm just, you've got the book, this call, a podcast, a website. And you give talks, I've seen you were on PBS, et cetera. And, you know, so that's my abridged version, you know, as opposed, you know, is all that in line with forgiveness or what, you know, so maybe you could give me your take on that. Yeah.
So, okay. So I would go back to where you started with, you know, what I said about my function is forgiveness. Absolutely, my only function is forgiveness. That's what we're all here to do. But the way that that shows up for each of us as individuals is different. We all have a particular part to play in our function of it being forgiveness. So it's going to look different from person to person. I'm not being dismissive at all in, like, how things are, like I didn't do any of this. I'm just going to answer your question. I didn't set out to be an author. I experienced such healing from the Course that I had to write the book. I will tell you that I had submitted a proposal for From Anxiety to Love to a book contest that was, I can't even remember the name of the woman who was doing the contest, and the grand prize was a publishing deal with New World Library, and I lost that contest. I didn't even get, like, a runner-up, and they gave out, like, 50-something prizes. So it wasn't the right time. And rather than go into, you know, this isn't going to work, like, I just knew in my heart of hearts I had something that I had to share, and all I've been doing ever has been sharing. So I haven't been trying, quote unquote, you know, to, like, build something out of this. It's just been in the flow of what I've felt like I've been meant and asked to do. It's been, the book was something that had to come out of me. It was like, I don't have children, so I'm sure labor pains are much more painful than this, but it was as if, like, you know, I was having, like, contractions and I had to get this book out of me. Like, it had to come out. So all I can say to you is to keep doing what you feel has to come out of you and trust that however that's going to look, it's going to look different for all of us. We always have to go back to trusting that if we're doing what we feel prompted to do, if we're doing what we feel guided to do, whatever the outcome is perfect. And that's what it's supposed to be, and it's for our greatest learning. If we get caught in thoughts of, oh, this should look different, this should be, you know, I should not just be on PBS, I should be on Oprah, or, like, whatever. If we get caught in thoughts like that, those are all ego thoughts. That's all that is. But Holy Spirit will repurpose everything, even our ego thoughts, if we're constantly handing them over. So my biggest piece of advice, which is what I always say, no matter what it is that we're facing, is to constantly turn to the Holy Spirit. Hand over everything. Hand over what you want. Hand over what you think you need to do. Hand over all of it and still do what you feel prompted to do while knowing that you're handing it over to Holy Spirit at the same time, and just trusting the, you know, the unfolding of it all. So I can honestly say that I did not set out to do any of this. This group, this call, some of us on the call, Carol, Pat, and Paula, were here because my mom and stepdad started a study group. After 13 years, we were all devastated that they decided to stop teaching, and I was like, shit, like that means if it's going to happen, if it's going to keep happening, I have to do it. And I was terrified to start a study group. Like, and I'm hoping I'm not on speakerphone and little kids didn't just overhear me say a bad word, so I'm sorry if that happened. But I was funneled into this. I didn't even start this of my own will. So I hope that answers your question, Carl.
Well, I can appreciate the idea that you said, you know, this just has to come out of me because I've had what I consider several amazing experiences, you know, going back many years, and, you know, and I just have to keep at it as well.
Yes, you
and,
do.
You know, I mean, and I, just as a little bit of an aside, you know, Mark Allen said to me, he says, well, what do I know? You know, he said, I turned down the Celestine prophecy, you know, so. So, you know.
There you go.
So, which I found
well,
amazing, but it led me back. It led me to go back and reading the Celestine and the whole series of books that.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, thank you for your question. Thank you. Thank
okay.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you. And, you know, my answer, again, to everybody applies to no matter what it is that you're doing, no matter what it is you feel called to do, do it, hand it over to Holy Spirit, and do what those inner prompts are asking you to do. That's also just the critical importance right now as miracle workers is not stuffing our miracle impulses. They're coming up to be expressed. And if we're stuffing them because we think it's not safe or people are going to look at us differently or, you know, whatever the fears are, we must look at that. It's critical now that we look at that and hand that over because those miracle impulses, those impulses of love, want to come out again in whatever way it is that we are being guided to express them. Let it flow. I can guarantee you it will make you happy. You might lose some friends. I will tell you that when my book came out, I had a number of friends from high school and college who reached out to me who were like, oh my gosh, Corinne, you had anxiety. So do I. Like, I didn't know. I'm getting your book. And I never heard from them again, like ever to this day. So it's fine, you know, it's fine. Any other comments or questions before we move on to the next paragraph?
Hi, Corinne. This is Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Wow, I just, I'm actually, to be very honest, I'll be honest, I feel like I'm all over the place in my mind right now. And I've been doing a lot of work the last couple weeks with the course. And the reason I'm saying this is it's not particularly exactly what we just read right now. But
mm-hmm.
I'm moved to share this. I heard you, I'm trying to think, because my days are all mixed up. I think it was on Friday with Teachers of God.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, they had whatever. They had different teachers, and, you know, they've been doing some wonderful, wonderful work, really good stuff. And one of the things, I lose track of time. I don't know how long ago you put your book out, but I can tell you that I am so moved by, after reading your book, and hearing you share and how committed you are to the course, it was so inspiring. It has been so inspiring to me because at this time, everybody's in that place from anxiety to love.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's just so important. I'm not there. I go back and forth on a regular basis. Of being centered and being able to follow the course
uh-huh.
and knowing that the only real thing is love.
Uh-huh.
But you, not you alone, you know that. I'm not saying it in that vein, you know, but I'm extremely appreciative of all these light workers that are there for me to listen to at this time. Yeah, that's really all I have to say.
Thank you, Carol. I am too, and that's where, again, like, we're all working for the same boss and whatever form it is that you are teaching, because all of you are teachers. Every single person on this call, everyone is a teacher and a student, myself included. I will never, always a student first. The way that we're called to teach is going to look different. Some might be in more of like a formal teaching role. Others, it might be being a teacher, being an example, even in your own family, maybe with your colleagues. We are teaching all of the time. And so it is, like I said before, those miracle impulses are impulses of love that want to come through you. And so when you're with your family member who knows how to push your buttons, we always have a choice to go down the road of attack and defense into ego and judgment and condemnation and pointing the finger, or in that same relationship, we have a choice to express love, because that's what a miracle is. And so I can give an example of many times when I have maybe been driving and I've had an inner prompting, like a burst of love come up to reach out to a family member to say hi, like a difficult family member, but then I'm like, oh no, if I call, like, they're going to start blah, 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 and then it's going to make me feel blah, 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 and like totally squash the miracle impulse. So that's what we have to be willing to not do, is to let those miracle impulses come through us. And I mean, Carol, I'm grateful for everybody who's also, you know, sharing online also. And this is what, you know, there's not one quote unquote teacher who hasn't been like, OMG with this situation, you know? So as you teach, you learn. And so it's not just, you know, by teaching, it's not just for others. What I share, these calls help me, like they help me in my right-mindedness. So thank you for expressing gratitude. I feel it too. This is perfect. Let's read the next paragraph. When brothers join, wait, am I in the right paragraph? That's where I should be, right? When brothers join in purpose. Can somebody tell me if I'm starting at the right place?
Paragraph 5, actually.
Paragraph 5. Okay, thank you. I thought something seemed off. Paragraph number 5. The real world is a state in which the mind has learned how easily do idols go when they are still perceived but wanted not. How willingly the mind can let them go when it has understood that idols are nothing and nowhere and are purposeless. For only then can guilt and sin be seen without a purpose and as meaningless. Thus is the real world's purpose gently brought into awareness to replace the goal of sin and guilt. So the real world's purpose replaces the goal of sin and guilt. And all that stood between your image of yourself and what you are, forgiveness washes joyfully away. Yet God need not create his son again, that what is his be given back to him. The gap between your brother and yourself was never there. And what the Son of God knew in creation, he must know again. I feel moved to read the next paragraph as well, because this is what my eyes landed on when we were just about to begin. When brothers join in purpose in the world of fear, they stand already at the edge of the real world. Perhaps they still look back and think they see an idol that they want. Yet has their path been surely set away from idols toward reality? For when they joined their hands, it was Christ's hand they took. And they will look on him whose hand they hold. The face of Christ is looked upon before the Father is remembered. I want to read that again. The face of Christ is looked upon before the Father is remembered. For he must be unremembered till his Son has reached beyond forgiveness to the love of God. Yet is the love of Christ accepted first, and then will come the knowledge they are one. How light and easy is the step across the narrow boundaries of the world of fear when you have recognized whose hand you hold. Oh my goodness. So the first thing that I want to highlight is a sentence that we just read. Yet is the love of Christ accepted first, and then will come the knowledge they are one. I have to speak for a moment to spiritual bypassing, because this happens in my own family where, and I've seen this, I see it happen time and time again, where somebody shares something and then a course student throws a course quote at them or says something like, well, you know, we're all one. I mean, those things are true, that we are all one, but the thing is, with this sentence, where it says, yet is the love of Christ accepted first, and then is underlined. Helen Schuckman emphasized the word then when she was taking down these notes. Yet is the love of Christ accepted first, and then will come the knowledge they are one. So here, this one sentence to me speaks of how this growth happens in stages. We need not deny our experience or our feelings or our sadness or anything that's coming up here, because as we go through them with Holy Spirit, we set ourselves up for knowledge to return. It's a gradual remembering of knowledge, not an intellectual forcing by denying where we are at and trying to just throw a course quote at it. So I just felt moved to share that. I also felt moved to share the very first sentence of paragraph number 6. It says, when brothers join in purpose in the world of fear, they stand already at the edge of the real world. That's what's happening right now on this call. We are joining in purpose for love in the world of fear, and we stand already at the edge of the real world. This is why it's so important. This is why I just feel like I'm getting it so deeply that the course is interpersonal. We can't make it to the real world by ourselves through this pathway. This is about joining with our brothers. So this is a holy purpose that we come together on these calls. Whatever work it is that we do with others that we're willing to join with, even if they're not course students, even if we're just doing this work in our mind, this is bringing us to the edge of the real world. And I feel like this is why it's so critically important now with what's happening in the world that we continue to join, because all of us are going to slip and get wobbly in fear, and we come back. We come back to joining and restoring our right-mindedness and standing again at the edge of the real world. We come back over and over, and as we do, each time we shed another layer of fear and we come closer and closer to remembering the truth together. So I just love these ideas in these paragraphs.
Corrine?
Yes.
I keep thinking about the time we are in. I keep thinking about how everybody, the world, has a common enemy. And I see unity. I see brothers joining. I see fear. Yeah, there's a lot of fear. But there's a lot of unity right now. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of, well, people want hope. And I know myself, I'm turning more to my spirituality, my beliefs, and I see good in this whole
mm-hmm.
happening.
Mm-hmm. Christine, I agree with you wholeheartedly that this is bringing the world together in a way that nothing else could. We were on such a track of separation. And, I mean, if you think about it from the perspective of what you're saying, it's almost like the world needed something like this to change its course from the direction that it was going, because this quote-unquote common enemy is invisible. It's not like a terrorist or like, you know, an alien invasion. It's not like something that you could just see and kill. It's something invisible that affects everybody in the same way. So seeing the joining is just absolutely, absolutely beautiful. So I agree with you that there's a very beautiful thing happening in all of this.
Corinne, can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
So this whole section that we started reading tonight starts with the purpose of forgiveness, and it's repeated again and again in what you've read. Is the ultimate, I'm fairly new to the course,
mm-hmm.
Is the ultimate forgiveness realizing that the separation has not occurred and we need to forgive ourselves for buying into the idols and all that kind of thing?
Absolutely. You just
Absolutely.
Nailed it. That's
wow.
it. And to put it in a very clear and concrete example, if you listen to the recording from last week, I think I saw Jana on the line. Jana shared a very practical example of it's, and Jana, I think you're here, but like the gist of it, are you here?
I'm here.
I'm looking.
I'm here.
You are here. Was the gist of it basically that, like, you know, when pretty much like how you feel when you wake up from a dream, you realize that all the dream figures were coming from your own mind. Is that the gist?
Yeah, I had a dream that was shared where I was upset at people, and it went on and on in the dream, and I woke up and I realized those people didn't exist. I created my upset. I created the whole scenario, everything I created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was no one to forgive because it wasn't real.
Right, right. Beautiful.
So
and that's
I,
it.
So when I'm taking time to walk outside during this, everything that's going on in the world, and somebody walks too close to me, I know this sounds silly, but somebody walks too close to me, and I, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, like, really? With
uh-huh.
everything that's going on. And then I think, okay, but I forgive you, but ultimately I'm just forgiving myself for letting that bother me. Because
ultimately, we're forgiving ourselves for believing that we're bodies, for believing that there's sickness, for believing that, you know, that yeah, all those things, and what you said too. So, you know, in that example, and I've experienced that too, in that example, like, again, we have to be where we are. And I forget who my governor in New Jersey was quoting, but I believe it was a priest who, rather than calling it social distancing, was calling it social solidarity, meaning like we're all in this together. But when that person mm-hmm. doesn't, you know, abide by that and it's triggering, I, like, my very practical forgiveness exercise on like a very practical level, I see forgiveness as forgiving to the Holy Spirit. So rather than get caught in blaming that person, that they're a jerk and they're irresponsible for, you know, walking too close to me and to other people, I'm going to feel, I'm going to acknowledge whatever feelings come up, and I'm going to say, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to see this differently. I'm handing this over to you. I'm not keeping it for myself. So on a practical level, that's what I do for my forgiveness practice.
Great. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the question. Read another pair.
I just have something to share briefly regarding this last paragraph that we were reading.
Sure.
Is that okay?
Go for it. Yeah,
okay.
Go for it.
I had in my meditation, and I struggle with meditation. I'm not the most I have a monkey mind for sure. But in one of my recent meditations, I had this, for lack of a better term, vision where I was standing in the eye of the hurricane, an actual hurricane, with Jesus, and it was all my fears. Everything that was swirling around us had to do with fear and idol, and it was like a huge dust devil hurricane. But in the eye, I was holding Jesus's hand, and when I was looking out at the swirl, I was getting scared. And he squeezed my hand. I looked over at him. He winked, and he said, "They're just your thoughts. Let them go."
Mm.
And I want to share something that really made a huge impact on me. I've been doing in the workbook Lesson 68 with the 40-day program that Lisa Natoli has.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done this lesson before. I seem to have a lot of grievances, and I have to keep going back to this lesson. But what really struck me in this lesson was the time after letting go of grievances with thinking of yourself as completely at peace with everyone and everything, safe in the world, which protects you and loves you and which you love in return. Try to feel safety surrounding you, hovering over you, and holding you up. Try to believe, however briefly, that nothing can harm you in any way. And at the end of the practice period, tell yourself, love holds no grievances. When I let all my grievances go, I know I am perfectly safe. And I want to add to this that it's not individually we're safe. All minds are connected. As we believe ourselves to be safe, that goes and reverberates throughout all of the whole world. Every person, it starts having that thought. Simultaneously, I believe. So anyway, I think that's where we are so powerful in being able to help this world when we join with the Holy Spirit as miracle workers.
That is true. True, true, true. That was beautiful, Jana. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. Wow.
Corinne?
Yes.
Hi, it's Blanca.
Hi, Blanca.
I just wanted to just kind of add to that, because that's kind of the same sentiment that I was feeling in the sense that, I've been listening to a lot of different kind of light workers online, and one of them was talking about how, Mother Teresa worked with lepers for years, and she never became ill herself. And it was because she didn't have fear around them. She was, seeing Jesus in the face of each and every one of them. And, today I've been, taking my walks every day. And luckily I'm in a more kind of smaller town, so there's not a lot of people around. But there is like a nursing home right by where I live, and there's always a bunch of like older folks outside, like they're in wheelchairs and whatnot. And I know that a couple of days ago when I walked by them, I was fearful even though they're so far away, I was fearful that, you know, somehow the wind would somehow bring something to me. And today, instead, you know, I just looked across and I just was blessing all of them and just, you know, I had that shift in perception. And I think that that's so important. And I think that you can do both. I think that you could still walk 6 feet away from people and at the same time be blessing all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And not, you know, sending everybody love. Because that's all. That's what we all really need right now, you know. So
absolutely, absolutely, yes. And I agree with you that, like, you know, Mother Teresa did not get ill, and I don't believe Jesus would have been susceptible to this virus. So, like, but this is where we have to be where we are and acknowledge that, like, yeah, you know, I want to walk 6 feet away from people or more, and at the same time, like you're saying, still be willing to express love. So, yes to that. Thank you, Blanca.
You're welcome.
Awesome. And did anybody else want to add anything? Okay, let's read another paragraph. Within your hand is everything you need to walk with perfect confidence away from fear forever, and to go straight on and quickly reach the gate of heaven itself. For he whose hand you hold was waiting but for you to join him. Now that you have come, would he delay in showing you the way that he must walk with you? His blessing lies on you as surely as his Father's love rests upon him. His gratitude to you is past your understanding, for you have enabled him to rise from chains and go with you together to his Father's house. An ancient hate is passing from the world, and with it goes all hatred and all fear. Look back no longer, for what lies ahead is all you ever wanted in your heart. I'm going to read the next two paragraphs. We're going to finish this section out. Give up the world, but not to sacrifice. You never wanted it. What happiness have you sought here that did not bring you pain? What moment of content has not been bought at fearful price in coins of suffering? Joy has no cost. It is your sacred right. And what you pay for is not happiness. Be speeded on your way by honesty, and let not your experiences here deceive in retrospect. I want to read that one more time. Be speeded on your way by honesty, and let not your experiences here deceive in retrospect. They were not free from bitter cost and joyless consequence. Do not look back except in honesty. And when an idol tempts you, think of this. There never was a time an idol brought you anything except the gift of guilt. Not one was bought except at cost of pain, nor was it ever paid by you alone. Be merciful unto your brother then, and do not choose an idol thoughtlessly, remembering that he will pay the cost as well as you. For he will be delayed when you look back, and you will not perceive whose loving hand you hold. Look forward then, and walk in confidence, with happy hearts that beat in hope and do not pound in fear. The will of God forever lies in those whose hands are joined. Until they joined, they thought he was their enemy. But when they joined and shared a purpose, they were free to learn their will is one. And thus, the will of God must reach to their awareness. Nor can they forget for long that it is but their own. So with everything happening in the world, let us not look back to wanting things to be like they used to be. Whatever happens in our experience, let us not look back to want to go back to a place of safety. Let us, and I say safety meaning like quote-unquote safety, let us look ahead in recognizing that true perception is what we want. We want our minds to expand. We want our perception to expand. We want our minds to be more open than we can possibly even conceive of right now. And this is how we must be willing to be taught. We need to stay open to know that whatever it is in form that seems to show up in our experience, there is a blazing, shining, sparkly miracle just behind every single appearance of pain. So I loved how it said, let not your experiences here deceive in retrospect. So let us not look to the past and be like, oh, you know, well, now that I look at it this way, that person was wrong. They should pay the price. They're guilty. No, let us release everyone from guilt so not only can they know the truth, but we can know it as well. Because as it said here, I'm not remembering the exact sentence, but it just gave me the impression that when we judge, when we blame, when we make another guilty, it's like we're pulling down a shade in front of our own awareness, a shade in front of their awareness and ours, where we're no longer going to be able to know God, to know love, to know the Holy Spirit, because we've lapsed into condemnation. So when it says give up the world, one moment, I'll be right there. I'll just finish my thought real quick. When it says give up the world, but not to sacrifice, you never wanted it. Give up the world meaning give up everything that you think that you want, that you think that you see, that you think that you need. Give it all to Holy Spirit so we can be taught here in the world how not only to perceive correctly, but how to perform miracles, how to extend love to our brothers, because that is why every single one of us is here. We're here to forgive. We are here to extend the love that we are. Somebody was just about to say something.
Yes, hi, Claire. I was going to say that it seems to me, because you did read something about the gift of guilt, and it seems to me that this specific incident has really acutely made us see, because this seems really surreal. So it's acutely made us see that this is a dream, because it seems so surreal. It seems even more clearly that it's a dream. So being that we see that so clearly, it also gives us the opportunity to be outside of the dream as well. So to be inside of the dream, meaning react appropriately, but yet also see that we're outside of it as well. We're like two places at one time.
I love that, Meg. I absolutely love that. And that being outside of it as well, I'm going to relate that to something that I said last week, where last week I shared that song with everybody by Christine DeMarco, It Is Well, and how it talks about it is well in my soul, that when we can really root in to that feeling that it is well in my soul, it is well outside this dream, when we can root into that and then perceive from that place, we're really able to be miracle workers and to be outside of the dream when it seems like we're seemingly in it, if that makes sense. So I love what you said, Meg. I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. That was beautiful.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Oh, I just have to express gratitude for every single one of you for being here. This is just very holy work that we are doing together, with being committed to bringing our minds back to the truth, no matter how many times we might slip into fear or feel shaky or get shaken. what matters is that we keep coming back. That's what matters. It's not that we can't judge ourselves for slipping. What matters is that we come back. And that's why I just love these calls. And I love you all so much. And I love your dedication to this pathway, because we are healing the world. So, and obviously, we're included.
Mm-hmm.
I love you all. Thank you.
Thank
you, Deidre. Love you all. Have a great night. We'll see you next week. Love you. Bye, everyone. Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Night.